Australian Bible Church, February 26th, 2012. A message in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we seek to serve without compromise, by faith, according to the Bible, without qualification. It's not only for Presbyterians, but for the world. And today, a larger, broader look at the times of Ahab, Jehoshaphat, and succeeding generations, seeking to see judgment and mercy, challenging corruption, in such a way that we can apply it to our own time and profit. The power, the precision, and the penetration of the Lord and the word of the Lord into a hostile and often corrupt, compromising, and double-tongued world. So, review and redress. We've seen the folly of a righteous king, Jehoshaphat, attained to a marriage with an unbelieving idolatress, giving him a deceptive and infamous father-in-law, with resulting adaptation to some of his ways, even to the point of cooperation in the battle, so that one with spiritual perception, program, mixed with another of a different perception and program to do a joint act, so somebody's ox and somebody's bullock, coming in different directions for different reasons, got tangled up and tried to work together, and the result was conspicuously ridiculous, as it always will be, more sooner or later. When the battle came, predictably the king Ahab, with his idolatrous marriage and formal idolatry through the calves which they worshipped, suggested that his relative Jehoshaphat should go as a king and he would go as a common. Now obviously the king would be attacked, and only by the Lord's hearing prayer was Jehoshaphat delivered. Ahab, commoner, hidden in the multitude, free to continue without anything except something which men call chance, but which in God's providence was anything but chance. God captured history, moved people, arranged the meteorology and all the other aspects, so that a man who shot an arrow at a venture into the milling milieu of the men of battle happened to come, and his arrow happened to get to a vulnerable place, and it happened to kill slowly the infamous King Ahab, who had been looking after number one, which is a defilement of politics, I hope, is not leading to current tragedy in this country. Ahab was propped up in his carriage to perceive loss. He had had a heedless persistence in his rambunctious path of getting everything he wanted, whether it was a next door vineyard, which he rather fancied as an extension of his gardener, allowing murder for the purpose, or anything else which came to mind. Had not his idolatrous wife Jezebel, hearing his desire for an adjoining property some time before, deliberately caused the owner of that property to be praised at a public meeting so that someone should then assault his reputation, insult his morality, and lead to his being killed, so that Ahab could get the extension of his garden. And he got it. That's not all he got. Elijah, the one who earlier had given them 3 years without rain in order to teach them that the Lord is back of things. And we would remind this country that the Lord was back of Dunkirk when England escaped. And whether they hope the Lord to be back of it, they remove him from the Constitution, as they have long removed him in the teaching of science, so dear to the heart of such little men as Newton, long ago, to produce their nature myths. And so Elijah came upon Ahab, The Lord came upon this secular monstrosity wedded to idolatry. Have you both murdered and taken possession? He said to the gloating Ahab, enjoying his new acquisition of real estate, adjoining the regal property. In the place where the blood of Naboth slain owner of the vineyard was soaking, there would that of Ahab drop. And indeed it was so. Samaria is the place, and in another public place, where the blood on the chariot of Ahab was being washed, the dogs did indeed lick it. Yes, in that infamous and idolatrous place called Samaria. Ahab and Jezebel had 400 prophets going back again to Carmel. The question was, which God, the fictitious or the factual, would send fire from heaven to burn up a sacrifice? We know the story. In vain did the priests of Baal seek for such a result. Elijah had water put all round in trenches, then called upon the name of the Lord. Thus the Christian way is not only better, it has power to contradict what would otherwise happen. Many people have difficulties with medicals. There's no difficulty. If I have a train set, and if I wish to put my hand into it to alter something, I'm breaking no laws. My force is the cause, and the laws can operate as they will. My force will change their relevance and result. There's no difficulty about miracles. They can be done in many ways. That's just one of them. You have to extend your heart to believe in God, not just mumble some mumbo-jumbo. So this has been a long, long contest. Great had been the slaughter of the false priests in that day, as in Deuteronomy 13. It was a theocracy. And if you wanted to make it something else, you could go elsewhere or be dealt with. It was moving. It was changing. Just as Australia is now being expertly corrupted. It has been expertly corrupted for at least 50 years. Moving away from God to a newer and similar realm. When nature myth, something you never can see, wait 100 years if you will, something you can never verify, something you can never witness, something which never happens, that is taught as a fact so strong that what does happen, certain activities of a speech kind in DNA happen and have now stopped, as the Bible says. His word, it's finished. Certain things which these say, we never see happening, and they continue as always, not happening. There is a verification, but it's ignored. That's not all. We are getting a new racism. It is suggested that Aborigines should be one race, and we another. They should have certain new freedoms, and loyal to themselves, princelings of power. While Australians should get whatever's left, freedom diminished. In terms of what? A nature myth. He who comes first is better, greater, has some primordial significance, and therefore you must bow down and listen, which is nonsense. What about the fruits of the roots? What about checking what happens and leaving people free to go they want to go, where they want to go? If you want to help people, be they poor or Aboriginal or anything else, do it. But don't start carving people into different races with different privileges, different powers, different positions before the law. That wicked, racist corruption is a dire consequence of the nature myth and of other things as well. Now the time is coming, and it's already been threatened often enough on the web, when people who apply biblical judgment to anti-design sexual immorality, adultery, homosexuality, lesbianism, whatever, may be made to pay for their position. Prison or fines. If you dare to criticize, you may be criticized. They may not. A new sort of cultural doublet of races. Those who are culturally popular, those who are culturally unpopular, and those who are culturally unpopular, such as those in accord with the way our nation was founded, as shown in its constitution, these must be persecuted, and those who are in something culturally popular contrary to our founding, they are to become a criterion of judgment, and there are two races. The race of the past to be extinguished. The race of the present to be held on high. They have not learned. Israel did not learn. Jehoshaphat's errors and Ahab's results eventually led to one of the two nations, which had originally been Israel, but which had divided, being swept into oblivion. The other one, swept into a 70-year exile, to be followed after the slaughter of Christ with a 1900-year exile. It expands vigorously. Grisly are the things which our country is doing. Grisly was the result of the battle, as we have noted. The blood dripping. The blood in the chariot. The blood washed in the chariot in the pool of Siloam. The blood dripping where the dogs licked it. Done amid the harlots in the waters, we read, as if it was a symbol of spiritual harlotry. Thus Samaria bore the course of blood. Quite a to-do for a king who desired his neighbor's field for cultivation, and a religion without God for his worship. Slowly his frustration could mount as he saw his endeavors lost. Then there's the generation gap. It wasn't only the major players. It was their children and grandchildren who were involved. Set a course, call it a culture, and approach doom with a fast acceleration. Call anything anybody does a culture. It could be murder. It could be the misuse of children, which John Howard was trying to stop, but was stopped from stopping it. Call anything which is a culture magnificent, marvelous, to be revered. You'll get a culture. You'll get a culture of mythical morality, gross, shameless permissiveness. And on you will hang the lives of many children violated because you were afraid to correct. Is this to be the history of this company with many word country, with many words and many works leading to nothing, while billions are spent and alleged to be of little value, while education is pursued but found to be, even by those who are criticizing it, evaluating it, of small results? Well, our whole nation gets years behind some of the Asiatic countries because we're so interested in class side and in having computers and in dealing with people who must have every kind of morality and help to leave home at an early age or do anything else that their godlike beings should desire. Well, this lack of motivation, lack of morality, lack of discipline, and lack of content, and new content in the educational revolution, which is to ignore the Christian side of the British acquisition of this country. Well, all these things go on. This country is going down competitively and comparatively as it well might. I was asked recently to comment on educational change over the years. I didn't feel I could do so, as I have not for a long time done much secular teaching. Though it's true, I could have rehearsed over the 9 or so years I've done teaching in general schools or church schools. There are many things I could have said, and maybe one day the Lord will give me an opportunity to say the things that might be said from a Christian's perspective specifically. But in the meantime, results accrue. There was a synthesis with sin, such as we find in defamatory fallen denominations in this country now. Give us Alpha. Give us a time when people can openly and publicly criticize Christianity without any answer. Give us it from a Roman, Catholic, Protestant, who knows what synthesis, so that everyone may become one, ignoring 400 years of protest against the muddled ways of Rome, who has a Christ allegedly the same as his sacrificial symbol of bread, so that if it was brought into, he would die. The nonsense of having bread as Christ, when Christ broke it and didn't break. It's so great that even one of the martyrs had to point it out. But this synthesis for sin, whether it be Romanism, or whether it be various sects, or whether it be the World Council of Churches, which turns Christ into a revolutionary when it feels like it, or whatever it be, this staying in fallen, defamatory denominations that don't even know the sexual realities of life by this time, according to the Bible, is bringing many together. Just as they did in Ahab's time, and in his son's time, and in his grandson's time, so that they might vacate from the church of the living God and be manipulable in future generations because they've got used to it. If it's a church, it's all right. It doesn't matter whether the pastor is homosexual or any other thing. The Bible is irrelevant, but we still believe. Believe what? Believe that the Bible is irrelevant? And so it was with Jehoshaphat. It goes on. It gets worse. He received a call from Ahaziah's son, Jehoram, to fight a battle against Moab. Again, he accepted it. He went out and the cattle had trouble. There was no water. They were likely to be slain. And they had to call on the Lord, or Jehoshaphat. And along came Elisha the prophet. Were it not for Jehoshaphat, he said, concerning Ahab's offspring, I wouldn't see you. One would have thought that that was a sufficient type of a rebuke. He also sought to build ships with Ahaziah. And that came to a gross and unhappy end, likewise. The ships were destroyed. He couldn't seem to stop. He goes out with Ahab. He goes out with Jehoram. He goes out with Ahaziah. Trouble and difficulty on all sides. An obvious spiritual miss. No longer he was told. No wonder he was told. Should you help the unrighteous? When he was confronted by the prophet. Should you help the unrighteous? Now a lot of people get confused here. You should love your enemies. Quite true. You should seek to overcome evil with good. Quite true. But when what you are doing is confronting a disease, a pathology, a virus, a spiritual deadly microbe, which would destroy the whole church, then the good with which you overcome it is what Jude prescribes. Fight for the faith once for all delivered to the saints, reminding us of the times when the Lord brought death on those who sought to bring the theocracy into ruin. You do not allow the infection of the church to join the casualty list on the idea that you allow everybody to join it. What good possible is that? If you allow someone to jab an injection to you saying, well, that's what he wants to do, that's all right, I'm doing good by letting him jab, you've lost your mind. You make him a murderer and yourself a corpse. What good in the world is that? What is the good of allowing those things which God forbids to come in his name as though it was doing good to do good evil? No wonder Jehoshaphat got into rebuke after rebuke. And his son killed his brothers in order to become king. Reminds you of current Australian politics. Who's killing whom to become prime minister? I don't know. Complex process that psychoanalysts might enjoy looking into. But at all events, Jehoshaphat's son Jehoram killed his brothers, took the kingship, and received a nice little letter from Elijah telling him he'd die of an intestinal disease slowly. Wonderful results in the children. And so we read that that son, Joram of Jehoshaphat, departed not being desired. I always love that. He departs not being desired. There was no spiritual fragrance. Christians are supposed to have a fragrance, we read in Corinthians. Indicating, illustrating, drawing to Christ. A forbearance when it's a matter of personal problems. A boldness when it's a matter of the faith. You find doctors saying, oh, because I could be wrong, but I reckon, personally, I don't want to offend you, the smoking would be a good thing for you to give up. What do you think? Are we so far from using common sense that the moment religious things come up, people are to act as if their minds had suddenly been arrested at the age of 2? Let us hope then to apply this, Australia will repent of its many steps towards a secular, synthetic, sinful nation at the top level before she removes the words reliance on God Almighty from the preamble of the Constitution. Before she does that, despite many warnings over a long period of where she is going, downward, away from God, why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord so that you cannot prosper? Where does that come from? Well, let's follow it out. Jehoshaphat, Jehoram, Ahaziah. Once again, Ahaziah goes out with one of the offspring of Ahab. And trouble arises. They fight Syria together. They come back wounded together. The idolatrous nation and the non-idolatrous. There they are languishing wounded together. Meanwhile, God anoints Jehu. He comes up. He sees the two loitering, synthetically evilly related kings, enjoying their company, cooperative to death, though from utterly different directions. He kills them with an arrow. He kills a fleeing king. They're gone. Nice. It looks as if things are getting a little more direct, a little more kinetic, happening a little more brutally, a little more quickly, doesn't it? But that is not all. After Ahaziah is gone, the mother thinks she'd like to be queen. Morality is disturbed. There is a bickering, as in Australia, over the top place. There's a feeling of unrestraint. So she destroys all those who could become king. She kills the kids. One of them she didn't get. He was Joash. The priest Jehoiada looked after Joash, but at a certain stage, while he was still young, they installed him as king. Treachery, says the lady, as a liar, and she's put to death as a murderess. And Joash comes along, little kid. There's this nice old priest, Jehoiada, who looks after him and lives to something like 130 years. So we've got stability. It looks as if the passion has been purged. Not so. After the old priest dies, Jehoash decides to go with the boys and have a nice time with all the same sorts of idolatry. It goes on and on and on. Just as the sun goes on and on and on, but it doesn't alter its course as these people are doing. We have a much better result. There is a cost to confusion. A confusion which rejects every warning from God, puts God in recess, takes out bits here and there, love your neighbor as yourself, do good to those who do evil to you, overcome evil with good. They take out bits and pieces. They omit God, but keep the way they're supposed to live towards each other without the power of God, because you cannot have the power of God without a God of power. So with this useless confusion, they move in this country as they did in that to a powerless prostitution of truth with an educational revolution, which you might almost call devolution, and one which is so ineffective, as we've seen, comparative capacities at the school level going down towards comparison with less lavishly entertained Asian students. But don't worry. If this hadn't happened, if evil hadn't manifested itself like this, if they hadn't gone after myths, as in 2 Timothy 4, the Bible wouldn't have been fulfilled, so rejoice. These are the last stages of the cricket match. Very soon it will be closed, and the triumph will be there. And the resurrection will come, because that's a matter of the power of God. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Yes, it's not going to take millions of years to be resurrected, didn't you know that? It would be difficult, because if you had your liver going on without your kidneys, it would be hard to live, the same as it would have been if you're thinking of creation rather than recreation. In a twinkling of an eye, let's be realistic for once. Let's look at the details with a cold, calm eye of reason. In a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound. And the dead will be raised incorruptible. I like that. It's one thing not to be corrupted. Far better is to be incorruptible, insusceptible to rotting, insusceptible to the sin which causes it, because by then the trials will be complete. The tests will be all over. The testimony will have already occupied the world, and the world will be ready for dismissal. Another thing, some people seem to imagine that it's God who is their enemy. God has made things tough for them. God has given them circumstances. There's no hope in God. What rubbish. Just investigate your own mind and conscience and memory. Have you never been in a situation where you have pondered, you have looked at your priorities, you've looked at your principles, if any? You've looked at your morals. You've looked at your past. You've looked at your aspirations. You've looked at your perspective. You've wondered, will I do this or will I do that? Have you always come down on the side of the angels then? Have you never sinned then? Have you never put a priority where you are number one or your team or preference? Have you always consulted God? Have you always looked to where you come from? Do you know God? God is most willing. His willingness is shown in incarnating his word and expression as Jesus Christ and doing everything that God could possibly do in that format as Messiah, dedicated to death, deliver us from the guilt of sin. There is God's calling card. That's what he's like. How often I would have gathered you under my wings as a hen gathers her chicken. But you, but you were not willing. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes, he didn't come to judge. He wanted all, as he says in Colossians 1. Why didn't he get them? But you. Don't try and blame God. It's like cutting off the nose of the teacher as well as not listening. But you, so don't, so repent, so seek the Lord and find him. He's only too willing. Accept that sacrifice for your sins. Look upon the resurrection with the relish which it deserves. Cease confusion leading to the confiscation of your soul. Our Father, we thank you that you came to deliver the just for the unjust, to show mercy. We thank you that your mercy has been shown to mankind. While the devil tries to confuse and corrupt either in one generation or several, yet standing firm and immovable is the rock, is the righteousness, is the reality, is the redemption in Christ. We thank that it's not a beautiful world that's been corrupted for thousands of years, but it's a beautiful Christ. It's a beautiful Creator. It's a beautiful gospel, and it is a wonderful way home. Grant us not to complain for the things which we're guilty of, but rather to commit our sins for coverage of guilt, our lives for the endowment with the grace and power of God, that we might serve thee as thou wouldst have us serve, which is only fitting for our Creator and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name.